It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Tuesday's always fun on the show. It is Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers back in studio there producing for us. He's manning things for us. We've got Chiefs insider Dan Israel coming up a little later in the program. Certainly got to get to that. There was a ton we didn't have time to get into yesterday that we will begin to expand upon a little bit today. We had the Shockers in action last night. We've got it all for you. We'll give away a little bit of HTO for you later in the program as well. Get you ready for a K-State basketball game tonight. Of course, this is the home of Wildcat Athletics. It's all coming for you here. And the IHOP hotline's open for you throughout this first hour at 869-1240. IHOP, by the way, introducing a new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle-themed limited-time offer menu featuring fully loaded French toast, the Great Circle of Cinnamon, layered with rich cinnamon spread, drizzled sweet cream, cheese icing. So get over there. Anyway, that number is 869-1240. Making me hungry over here. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Hey, that sounds great. I wish I had that right now. That sounds like a pretty incredible breakfast. Kind of does my banana that I had for breakfast to shame, kind of puts that to shame. Looking forward to getting into it today. We've got a lot to talk about.
You big breakfast guy? I know you love breakfast. Everybody loves breakfast, yeah. So don't get me wrong. But do you eat a big breakfast, I suppose, is the better question.
Not all the time. I mean, usually that's kind of like a weekend thing. Usually I'm kind of flying through the morning and getting out the door. And, you know, I'm a big fan of like the grab and go, you know, like grab a quick granola bar, grab a banana or, you know, something like that on the way out the door. But no, I'll sit down. I enjoy like a good, like greasy diner breakfast. Nothing beats that.
Yeah.
I could do that all the time. And in fact, I look forward, hopefully someday in my life, to be like that retired old guy that goes to the diner each morning to read the newspaper and eats breakfast, like, you know, has like my coffee cup at the diner that they give to me. That's what I'm looking forward to someday.
Yeah, you'll hit that and then you'll go play golf and you'll have a beer at the bar after.
Yep.
You'll have early bird about 4:30,
right,
in bed by 8.
That
doesn't sound
amazing.
Bad.
In fact, I wish I could do that starting right now.
I'm too much of a night owl for it, but you just push all that back and I'd be into it. I'm you know, most days in the craziness of getting, I'm a bowl of cereal guy during the week, but I'm with you. I could eat diner breakfast for every meal. But anywho, you go to IHOP, they'll take care of you. Okay. Let's start with the Shockers. I'm not real sure where to start with that game other than to breathe a sigh of relief that they didn't get beat in a bye game by statistically one of the worst teams in the country. I mean, Monmouth in the KenPom is like 294, you know, out of about 350. They are big, bad, 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 not good. Temple beat them by 30. 29. Wichita State survived. That, first and foremost, that's all that matters, like, realistically. They're not going to win a lot of style points in that one. That one's not going to help them analytically, but it could have really, really hurt them. So they avoid that, and that's the good news. As far as the game itself, look, I don't know what to make of it. I know Quincy Ballard didn't play. Did that have a factor into why they were as slow going offensively as they were? I'm not sure. Ronnie DeGray had to leave the game. So really, they didn't have their traditional, you know, bigs in there. And maybe that's why they suffered to some degree. I don't know, Tommy. Thankfully, they hit their free throws late in the game. They did not in the first half. That was a massive difference. That first half, they missed 10 free throws in the first half. You know, you look at the final outcome, you hit half of those, and now we're talking about a 10-point win maybe, and we maybe feel a little bit different. But they did hit them down the stretch, and they didn't hit any threes. They were 2 of 15. So we've seen a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde from behind the arc, which honestly we expected. We didn't ever think this was going to be an elite three-point shooting team. They have shown signs of, you know, getting hot from there this year, which are encouraging. But I think we do need to focus in a little bit. There was adversity here. It was not their night from behind the arc. Okay. It was a game where they didn't have their bigs, essentially. It, on one hand, they survived it. But on the other, they still should not have been that tight with Monmouth, even with all of that being said.
Well, you know, they also got out-rebounded by Monmouth. And I know that, I mean, a large factor is not having Quincy Ballard in the lineup. That's going to hurt you for sure. But
And DeGray for most of the game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but you don't, when you just look at the final line, you don't want to be out-rebounded by a team like Monmouth. You know, I think that also you have to keep in mind that other than Xavier Bell, who came off the bench, there were no bench points from anybody else. And I know they were extremely thin because DeGray had to leave, you know, and they didn't have Quincy Ballard. So you're dealing with a short bench. You're dealing with not much depth in that game. Honestly, I think it says more about Wichita State than it does about Monmouth. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Monmouth is going to, you know, go on a roll and start challenging people, I don't think. I think it tells you just it's an off night for Wichita State. They didn't shoot the ball very well, but they were resilient. They were, you know, able to kind of take that gut punch and get back into things. And so I think that at that point, you just kind of chalk it up to, hey, we got out of there. We escaped. We made the clutch shots when we had to. Corey Washington making that clutch three at the end of the game. That was massive. And then the Shockers were able to actually hit their free throws in the second half. So they didn't do what they needed to do in the first half from the charity stripe, but they got it done when it mattered the most. So I think it's one you just kind of wad up and you throw in the garbage can and you just move on. And hope it doesn't become a trend. If that's just a one-off, okay, we can live with that. We can deal with it. They got the win. You move on. You know, you try to be better next time. When it becomes concerning is when that starts to snowball.
Not only did Corey Washington's three at the end, like that was nobody else hit a three. They were 2 of 15. They were 0 for. Okay, thank the stars that Xavier Bell, who he deserves a ton of credit, love the local guy, hit all his free throws. He was 8 for 8 and hit them all down the stretch. That was massive in that moment. I will be very curious to get the feel, and we should have Kevin Saul tomorrow. I'll be very curious to get the feel and the vibe of that. I have not gone in and listened to the post game. I'll talk to Brandon Zinner today, who was at the game last night, to sort of get his take on what Coach Mills was feeling like after the game, what the players were feeling like after the game. I would just say this for Shocker fans, like that nobody feels great about that game. Nobody does. Yeah. Up next, though, are some games. You know, they get two games in the next 2 weeks, St. Louis and Minnesota. If, you know, the hope is you just can sort of wash that one out of your mouth and spit it out. Remember, they lost a bye game in 2022, I think it was. So this isn't new. And I think that was the fear last night for Shocker fans. But if they come back and they look, you know, fine with St. Louis and Minnesota, then there's no concern at all. What fear jumps into my head, Tommy, on this is, you know, they started 7-1 last year, right? Like We had a lot of questions. We didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden they get out to a 7-1 start, you know, with a win over St. Louis and Coastal Carolina mixed in there. And then things unraveled on them very quickly, and they didn't win very many games the rest of the season. So it's not fair necessarily to this group to think about that situation last year, but it's reality. And I think, you know, for Shocker fans, that's the fear right now. Like we kind of got real hopeful there after the first couple of games, and then like, whoa, what the hell was that against Monmouth? Jad Chambers, just so good at his job, has the Mills postgame audio on the 3-point issue. Thank you, Jad. Let's listen to that, and then we can react to it.
1-for-8 in the first half from 3, 1-for-7, and you got to be able to find a way to win games when you're not shooting it well, and that's going to get done defensively, but got a lot to clean up, but it's a good win. It
this
really
is one
is.
Of those games you could look at all kinds of reasons that you lost the game, and yet you didn't. You found enough ways to get it done.
So whenever our best was required, I thought our guys played our best. I thought our crowd had a lot to do with that, especially the last 5 minutes of the game. But, you know, we just didn't shoot free throw as well. Had 21 opportunities there in the first half and only made 11 of 21. But being able to make 9-for-10 in the second half.
You know, I think that pretty much is a summation of how I felt about it, like relief that they got it done. I will say this, the strategy was sound. They just missed too many free throws in the first half. Like you could tell, and they kept doing it in the second half and it worked better. Like the offensive strategy was to get to the basket and force contact. Everybody was doing it, right? Like the entire roster was doing it. Justin Hill, Xavier Bell, like all the shot makers essentially were just saying, let's get to the line. And I that is, I think, something you can put in your pocket for later that you like, right? But you can't get out rebounded by that team. And it just, like, as we wonder about these things, it does make me wonder, because I've told you this, and I think I've said it here. I know I've said it privately. Like, I do have some concern for when Quincy Ballard's off the floor in a game. I think that the team feels different when he's not out there, and that's going to take Mate really, you know, developing quickly to alleviate some of that. Well, he wasn't there the entire game last night, and I don't know how much of that's a direct correlation. I know obviously the rebounding is a total direct correlation to him not being out there, but that concern is amplified a little bit. Like, I hope that Ballard is out there, but Ballard has a long injury history with his time for Wichita State. So that is something that we got to take away. Like, what happens when he's not out there? Because I haven't thought that it's looked nearly as good without him as it does with him.
Well, you like his experience. You like, you know, the way that he can get up and grab the rebounds. You like, you know, just the physicality that he brings. And with the sprained ankle that he suffered, you know, I don't know if that's something that will linger on, if we're talking about multiple games or if they were just sort of resting him as a precaution. That hopefully that's what it is, because as you mentioned, you know, they play St. Louis, then they play Minnesota in the next 2 weeks. And so you'd like to have Ballard fresh and healthy and ready to go for that. You know, so maybe that was the strategy, to sit him out in this bye game and get him ready, you know, for those two future matchups. But if this does linger on, you know, for multiple games, then yeah, you're going to need to, you know, really put a whole lot more on the shoulders of Mate, which I know that you haven't felt like he's quite there, and he does have growth. He does have, you know, I think an opportunity to, you know, sort of acclimate himself to the college game and the style in which Paul Mills wants to play. I don't disagree with you there, but I just think, you know, back to right before the season, man, what if he had not been cleared by the NCAA? Like that would be a major issue because they wouldn't have anybody down low, you know,
I don't know who they'd have. Yeah. And I think he's there offensively.
I think he is too.
I love him as a passer. I think he's a great passer, but I do not think he's there defensively, and I do not think he's there as a rebounder yet. And I hope that those things can come right in his game, because even if that's not his game, they need it to be his game.
Yeah.
It needs to, it has to be a part of his game because that's what the roster needs so badly.
And look, I don't want to bring up bad memories, although you already brought it up, but remember 2 years ago, and this was even before Paul Mills, you know, got to Wichita State. So it's a much different team, much different situation, environment, all of that. But 2 years ago, they lost a bye game to Alcorn State. The next home game for Wichita State, they play Alcorn State on December 4th. Like, that's the next home game inside Charles Koch Arena. So, you know, look, like, they've got, I think, obviously some things that they need to clean up. I think you might be a little bit more concerned at this point than I am. I'm willing to chalk this up as an off night. And if that's all it is, great. They were short. Quincy Ballard and Ronnie DeGray was banged up. That's all it is. Perfect. At this point, I'm not ready yet to sound any kind of alarm or anything. I just think it was an off night. And I think it shows a ton of resilience that they were able to win the game.
I agree with that. I don't want to say that I'm concerned. I'm not concerned, but I'm also not where I was before the Northern Iowa game. Northern Iowa, we're going to look back on and say that was probably a tighter margin because they, you know, they're probably not as good as they typically are. But I'll tell you, Wichita State should have and probably could have won that game by a bigger margin. They chose to really run the clock, which is fine. They won the game. This one, though, like I thought they should have beat Northern Iowa by more. This one, survival is key. Right now for the Shockers in the non-con, right? You'll take them any way you can get them because you just can't really afford the losses there. So I'm good with it. I'm not good with the way they played. They didn't play well. But I'm good with saying, all right, that's an outlier. St. Louis and Minnesota are both off to pretty nice starts. They're both right around the range. Wichita State is in the KenPom. Like, these will be good tests for Wichita State. And I think we'll learn a lot more. I hope Ballard's back. If I have, like, if you're at, if I'm telling you there's lots of areas of concern, areas to get better. Right now, it is life without Ballard that concerns me greatly. A, because he's, you know, he's got an injury history. And B, because when he's out there, he is prone to foul. And so I don't know, like, if he's ever going to dominate the minutes in a game. And so they have to figure out a way, like, what does the offense look like? How do they, you know, better rebound? Like, what are the things that they can do to manipulate that roster and be successful when he's not out there? Or hopefully not, but the possibility that he misses any significant time within a game or a handful of games or whatever it might be. Like, that's what has to change quickly. Because they're about to play much better teams down low than they played against Monmouth.
Yeah, you know, my ears perked up yesterday when I saw the starting five and I saw that Ballard had a sprained ankle and wouldn't play. I'm like, okay, that's not ideal, you know, for Wichita State, but it's a bye game. They play in Monmouth, should be okay. And hopefully it's just a one-game thing. I haven't gotten any kind of clarity. I haven't heard if we're looking at this being, you know, something that lingers on. I think my ears will perk up a little bit bigger come Friday night against St. Louis and Kansas City if he's unable to play in that game. My hope, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, my hope is that you know, Paul Mills wants to rest him and get him ready for these next two games against St. Louis and then Minnesota, and you know, maybe figure to rest him and sit him in the game last night. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll be a little bit more cautious with Wichita State this weekend if they don't have Quincy Ballard. If he's back and ready to go, then at that point, all right, like, it's full steam ahead. I feel good about it.
That game is Friday against St. Louis. It's in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center. And then they get a nice holiday, their holiday break, which comes early. And then they play on Thanksgiving Day against Minnesota and then on Black Friday against either Florida or Wake Forest. Let me take a quick check here of what Florida and Wake Forest have been up to this season. Florida's top 20 right now, and Wake Forest is right in the range of Minnesota. So, you know, top 80. So, you know, they're going to get some good games. I think, well, it doesn't really matter. You just, like, for right now, for Wichita State, like, Wichita State just needs to worry about Wichita State.
And you know what? If they can play the next three games, if they can go 2-1 in those games, You know, I think that you feel pretty good about that outcome.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, going on the road and playing in that holiday tournament and then playing in Kansas City this weekend. So I think 2-1, you feel pretty solid about. 1-2. Okay. Like, not great, but it is what it is. I don't think you can go 0-for, you know, in the next stretch of three games.
I'll take it a step further. If they don't go 2-1, I'll be disappointed if they can't get to 2-1 in those games. Because I think that's where they should be. I think that's where they can be. So if they don't get at least to there, yeah, I would say I would be disappointed in that. Because at the end of the day, Wichita State needs to be better than Minnesota as a basketball program. Big Ten, don't care. At the end of the day, Wichita State needs to be better than Minnesota. Needs to be, you know, certainly better than St. Louis. Like, that's where Wichita State, like, we need Wichita State to every single year be a top, I'll be nice, top 50 team. Probably should be even higher than that in reality. So, yeah, is that lofty expectation? Sure it is. They've got one of the most experienced rosters in the country with some talented players on it. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Like, they need to be better than they were last night, but no doubt about it. And I think that they will be. Hopefully Ballard is back quickly. They made it. They survived. Thanks, Xavier Bell, for hitting your free throws down the stretch and giving everybody, and Corey Washington for hitting a big shot. But they've got some things to work on, and they got some time to do it. And I remain optimistic on the season in general. But that was not an enjoyable watch last night. How about that?
It was a butt pucker of a game. And yes, I think everybody was, you know, definitely feeling that down the stretch. Actually, probably from the opening tip. I know they took a lead early. I think they had a 4-point lead in the first half at one point, and then not again, I don't think, until
they opened the game, down like 9-2, and you're just like, yep. Let's not do this tonight. Like, we're already going to have to watch the Cowboys and Texans play. Like, can we not do this right now? And then they just turned, you know, what was going to be, 2 hours of pull your eyeball out, you know, sports watching to 5 hours of it.
We didn't really talk about him much, and we didn't really give him a ton of credit. Corey Washington. I know Xavier Bell hit his free throws.
Yeah.
Corey Washington was about the only offensive threat in the game. In fact, I didn't even realize this until I was looking at the box score. Players not named Corey Washington last night were a combined 0-for-11 from the three-point line.
That's correct. I have a problem with 5 turnovers from Corey Washington, but yes. Yes,
I'm not going to complain about that. We had to have him on the floor.
Had to have it. Had to have the points, and he got them. Those are good things you can take away. But Shocker fans survived it. On to the next one. We'll just throw that one right in the trash can. Hopefully, that's best case scenario. All right. You mentioned it there. Also in the non-enjoyable watch category was Monday Night Football. We can touch on that. I think, you know, the Texans are the interesting piece. They ended up with a big margin of victory, but did they do anything last night to elevate themselves, I would say, back to the level we thought they would be at the beginning of the season? We'll answer that question. We'll talk about it all. Lots to come here on Sports Daily. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, top of the hour. Don't go away. We're coming right back. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Crestview Country Club has you covered this fall. You can still play a little golf. You can always play tennis. And you can celebrate the holidays there at Crestview. You're like us. You don't have family in the area. We'll go over there. We'll have Thanksgiving brunch. Might even do a little New Year's Eve there. But you can check it all out. They have social memberships that don't involve the sports. They're a little more affordable if that's what you're into. You can give them a call. Tell them we sent you over from Sports Daily. Appreciate that. Appreciate their support of the program. Tommy, as we get ready for, our Chiefs insider, let's quickly hit on Monday Night Football. I don't know, man. The Cowboys are so stupid. And I mean that as literally as I can. you go into a game against the Texans and you've got, I don't know what the score was, 17-10 at half. Never more really than they were never way out of the game until the very end of the game. Cooper rushed through the ball 55 times. 55 times.
Yeah.
How is Mike McCarthy still the coach of this team? I could just sit in the coach's meeting. All right, guys, you know, here we don't have Dak. We got Cooper Rush here. He looked flipping terrible last week. You know what we ought to do against a team that's, you know, not amazing against the run? Let's throw it 55 times. 55 times. What do you think's going to happen with that kind of pass rush that the Texans bring to the table? Cooper Rush at quarterback when you throw it 55 times?
Well, I mean, you know, from a positive note, he had more passing yards than he had in the game last week against the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's not hard to accomplish, though.
This isn't a knock on Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush is whatever. It's a knock on going into any game and allowing him to throw it 55 times.
Yeah.
Against a team that can rush the passer like they can, and against a team that you ought to be able to run it a little bit on. It's like they ran it 5 times in the first half and didn't get much out of it. And it was like, all right, we're done with that. Like, no more of that. Let's not run the ball. And look, if Rico Dowdle's not good enough to run the ball that many times, you brought in Zeke Elliott.
He's a shell of his former self, too.
Obviously, he is, which we all knew when Jerry Jones brought him in his famous all-in crap from the offseason. It's insanity. So bad.
It really is. And you know what? When I watched that game last night, I had it on in the background after the Shockers game. And really, for me, it was more about, okay, let's actually pay attention to the Texans, you know, and see what they're doing and see how things are working for them. Because let's face it, the Cowboys are absolutely irrelevant. And
it's hard not to stare at that dumpster fire.
Sure.
When it's happening like right in front of you.
It's like a car wreck that you're driving by and you can't help but gawk at it. It's
horrible reality television. Yeah. It's like cable news. Right. Like when it's on, like, how do you not see it? Even though you know how terrible and horrible it is. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Right. On the Texans, because that is the far more important piece of this for us, because there are a lot of people. I think you were there. I was close to it. I can't remember who I put in the AFC championship game, but you know, the Texans were absolutely a part of that conversation. Maybe still can be. They get Nico Collins back last night. I thought he looked good. I think they've done a very smart thing in bringing him along slowly to make sure he's ready to go. That's smart. I think for them, seeing John Mechie continue to be a part of the game plan is a big deal. Yes, they lost Steph Diggs, but they still have Collins, Dell, Mechie, Schultz, Mixon. Like, they got a ton of weapons. And I do think, and I know he threw an early interception, C.J. Stroud looked at least better than he has lately. I think last night he was still off on a few passes. I don't know what's going on with him. But are they a legit contender in the AFC? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they are.
I don't. I mean, I think that they're, by definition, they are, but you know, yeah, they are. When they can rush the passer. But if I have to power rank them now, I'm not putting them above Buffalo, obviously. I'm not putting them above Baltimore. I'm not putting them above Pittsburgh. So then do they slot in as the fifth best team in the AFC at the moment? Maybe, I guess. Right. And are you putting them above Denver? Are you putting them above the Chargers?
I think I would right now at this point. I don't know. Here's my thing about Houston is that you went through a list of names, and the name that you mentioned last, I think, is the most important. And that's Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon had 3 rushing touchdowns last night in the game. He was too much, for the Cowboys defensively to take away. And all the focus is obviously on the wideouts for Houston, as it should be, and even what C.J. Stroud can do. And that was the major level of concern when Diggs went down and Collins went down, and then they got really thin at wide receiver. And, of course, now they've got Collins back. Nobody was talking about Joe Mixon. And, you know, he has looked good this season overall. Quietly, I feel like he's kind of flown under the radar when you're looking at, you know, top-tier running backs in the NFL. I think he showed that last night. And again, I know it's against the Cowboys.
They got him for free.
They got him for free. They got him, and he looked really good again against the Cowboys. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think down the stretch, especially if Stroud continues off and on to struggle with his accuracy and that sort of thing, they can fall back on Mixon. And they did that. They have done that. They did that when they were thin at wide receiver a few weeks ago. So I think that that's an important piece of it and a reason why I do think that they are a legitimate contender in the AFC.
Yeah, I want to call him a legitimate because I love D'Amico Ryans and I love C.J. Stroud and I love Tank Dell. And I really want them to be. And so I'll agree for now. If I'm power ranking them, they're still further down the list. Like, I'm not taking them over any of those four teams, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers. And I don't think I would at this point over there. I think I trust the Chargers a little bit more. But they're right there in that mix. So Houston gets it done. They're 7-4 now. They're not totally out of the woods with Indianapolis. We'll see what Anthony Richardson does here. But that was Monday Night Football. And yeah, it's funny that the story is the Cowboys today. But like, it's not even, Tommy, that it's the Cowboys, because they obviously always garner this attention. But like, when we look at the true dumpster fires in the NFL this year, which of course you'd put the Jets in that dumpster fire, right? I don't think you can call, let's say, the Niners a dumpster fire yet. Maybe you can call the Bengals a dumpster fire. By the way, of letting go Joe Mixon for nothing, You don't think they'd like to have Joe Mixon?
100%.
Would that help their offensive
line?
Although
I think they do like Chase Brown quite a bit.
I like Chase Brown too, but he's, Joe Mixon's been just out of this world. But when you look around at the other dumpster fires, I mean, the Cowboys to me sit so far and away ahead of everything else.
Yeah.
Because you have to consider that they just gave Dak $60 million a year to come back and be the quarterback of that team. The CeeDee Lamb contract.
It's because Micah Parsons, a spectacle. That's why.
Micah Parsons can't get out of his own way. Like, so many.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Terrible roster decisions. And it's so, like, what's so crazy about it, and this is, me soapboxing as a Cowboys, fan. A little bit here. What's so crazy about it is if you just pushed reset on the offseason, okay, and you came in and you did what's needed to be done for a long time, and you're the Cowboys, and at minimum, you trade CeeDee Lamb, you trade Micah Parsons, because you understand your window is not right now. And as great as CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons are, and they are great, they're not going to help you win a Super Bowl. You don't extend Dak Prescott to a $60 million contract. You either trade him or say, play this year and don't let the door hit you. We're done negotiating new contracts with you, Dak Prescott. You get some draft capital and probably some big time draft capital. This thing could have been rebuilt in a year or two. I mean, the way that they draft, it could have been done quickly quickly. You change head coach, bing, bang, boom, Uribe, you had one bad year, which, by the way, they're having anyway, right? They're having that bad year anyway. And you're right back there. That's the part that is so frustrating. The Jets, for instance, on the other hand, yeah, everything that the Jets have done has at least made sense. Hasn't worked, but it's made sense, right? You had these terrible quarterbacks, and it's like, let's see if we can get Aaron Rodgers in here. Great. It's not working. Let's see if we can get Davante Adams in to help him. Great. The head coach, like, everything they've done makes sense. It just hasn't worked.
They've been proactive, nothing, at least.
Nothing yeah, the Cowboys proactive. Have done has either worked or made any sense at all to literally anybody outside of Jerry Jones. That's what's so, like, crazy about it.
Do you remember back to August? And it was during the preseason, I believe, or training camp. And Jerry Jones was waxing poetic about how they sold out season tickets faster this year than they ever have in the entire history of the franchise. And I remember going off on him on that day, like, and not just on him, but honestly on the season ticket holders. Like, what are you doing? I know they're your team. I know you love them, but why do you continue to support this franchise with your dollars? Why do you continue to pay out the wazoo when they've shown zero impetus or zero proactiveness in doing anything to make this team better? And you know what? This is the first time since Jerry Jones's first year as owner and GM, that year that they went 1-15, that the Cowboys have lost each of their first five home games.
By a ton.
By a ton. So every single one of those season ticket holders who wrote the big fat check to go and sit in AT&T Stadium have seen losses in every single home game thus far. Quit supporting this franchise with your dollars until they show that they give a damn enough to do something to fix it. And then that's just not what Jerry Jones does. And so, like, honestly, that's why I remember back in August, honestly, kind of getting on the season ticket holders. Like, you are to blame for this also. You contribute to this also because you continue to subsidize the ineptness of this franchise and allow them to make no decision that makes any sense whatsoever. Stop giving them money. Show your unhappiness by not writing the check.
Yeah, it's there is only one person on the planet, who has thought this was a sound strategy this offseason, and it's Jerry Jones. I don't believe that his son believed in this strategy this offseason.
There's only one person thought this was a sound strategy either.
Mike McCarthy sucks. I don't think he was.
I mean, if I'm Mike McCarthy going into this season and knowing that my owner and GM gave me nothing to work with, God, I would feel like a lame duck coach. He already was. He is. But, like, okay, you really don't want me to succeed, clearly, okay, because you're not doing anything to help me out.
You know, the counter to that is, even if the Cowboys did nothing, they've won double-digit games the last few years. So they, you know, they should be able to be better. And I know Dak Prescott got hurt. He's been hurt for two games, and they've been terrible for a lot longer than two games, right? So Mike McCarthy doesn't deserve any excuses either, because it's essentially the same roster that was not good enough to win a Super Bowl last year, but was good enough to win like 11 or 12 games or whatever it was. And now they just can't. Now they just can't play. Like, get out of here. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. There have been a lot of reasons to be frustrated as a Cowboys fans for the last 30 years. This is more egregious than the Jason Garrett experiment for 25 years or whatever it was that they let him be the head coach. This is worse. This is worse than Tony Romo any respect of a defense ever and wasting his career.
Would you rather have a decade of mediocre football with Jason Garrett than what we've seen this year with the absolute dumpster fire? Because it was a decade of mediocre football. I know they had a couple of bright spots, but man, it was pretty
average. This individual season is worse than any of it. Yeah. In an individual season is worse than when, I don't even remember some of the names of the court, the Quincy Carter experiment, like all the dumb things that they've done. I think this is the most egregious. as far as, you know, on the field mismanagement that I've ever seen.
Remember when
Cowboys
Dave Campo was the coach? I mean,
I do.
Come on.
I do. Yeah. What other best friend can Jerry Jones hire? Right. It's so stupid. And we shouldn't even be like, who cares? Right. We shouldn't even be. But it's something you can't look away from as it goes up in flames. All right. Well, that's it. We'll talk Chiefs. That'll cleanse the palate a little bit. Top of the hour with Dan Israel. We'll get you set up for a college basketball game tonight when we return. K-State basketball taking on Mississippi Valley State. What do we want to see out of the Wildcats? That's where we head next. I want to say a quick thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this. Win some HTO, you can do that right now. Our text to win contest gets you a free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, and you can get a free iced or hot coffee featuring the new holiday classic peppermint mocha, a limited time offering. All you got to do to win those is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's TEA to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. And while you're there, don't forget to pre-order those Thanksgiving gallons. You can get buy 3 gallons, get one free. You place the order and you set a time to come pick them up on either the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They're ready to go for you. It is very handy and easy to do. So head on over to any of the Wichita Metro locations there, East or West Wichita and Derby, to cash in those free teas and get your Thanksgiving pre-orders in. Good luck, everybody. All right. We were talking about the Cowboys, got me distracted. All right, quick programming note, because we won't have time to fully get into it. We'll do it in the second hour. K-State basketball, they'll play Mississippi Valley State. You'll hear the game at 6 o'clock here on KFH, 97.5, 1240, or you can listen to it on the Odyssey app if you're sort of on the go and outside of your car. That's always a good way to do that, so check that out. But the Mississippi Valley State, K-State should have no issues. Certainly, we didn't think the Shockers should have any issues last night. And then last night happened with Monmouth, which we talked about. But K-State, they'll go into this, and they are, I'm just looking at a quick line here. They are fourth. Oh, my God. K-State is a 40-point favorite tonight. 40-point favorite tonight. For reference, Iowa State beat Mississippi Valley State by 39. Mizzou beat them by, this can't be right, 82 points. All right. Texas beat them by 46. So, boy, if you thought Monmouth was struggling, Mississippi Valley State is maybe worse than that. Let me just look and see they are the worst team. Okay. So Mississippi Valley State right now is the worst team by KenPom in the country. Worst team in the country. That's who K-State plays tonight, and they are 40-point favorites. What do we do with that? We're going to have to figure something out to do with that. We're going to have some fun with a 40-point line. We'll get into that in the second hour. I had no idea. I knew they were bad. I didn't know they were that bad. They have a win this year. Who do they beat? Who do they win against? Hey, what team is this? Is this even a real team? MUW? Mississippi University for Women. All right. That's who they've beaten this year. Can't make this stuff up. We'll get into this. This is far more interesting than I thought it would be. Now I'm interested. We'll get into that in the second hour. But when we return, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joins us. We'll get with Dan. Don't have to worry about the unbeaten streak anymore. That's good news, right? The Chiefs can focus now, but we got a lot to talk about with Dan Israel. That'll be what we do to start off hour number two. It's Sports Daily. It's a Tuesday. Don't go away. So you can get in touch with the program that way. Tom will be back in a minute as well. So yesterday we hear from the Chiefs. I don't know if they'll tell you this. And I don't even know if it's like a front of thought, thing, but I got to imagine with the expectation this year being history, and the third Super Bowl. And I get that an undefeated season would be historical, historic, but this team has never felt like a team to me that was going to go undefeated this year. Razor thin margins, all the wacky ways they've been able to win games. I haven't ever even thought about that piece as being a part of the history, but it just kept happening. And it's almost felt like a crutch. Let's bring in Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider. Dan, I don't know about how you feel. I'm not glad the Chiefs won it, lost a game to the Bills. I'm glad, though, that the undefeated season part of the conversation can go away. Because yeah. I don't know how much and listen, this isn't a Chiefs indictment. I don't think the Chiefs have treated it as a crutch, but I think as we've tried to evaluate the season, it's been this crutch, right? There are clear deficiencies and needs for this team, but you just keep saying, well, but they're still, but they're 9-0, they're undefeated. Now I think we can put all that to the side because the Bills are right on their heels. The Steelers are for real. The Ravens are for real. Maybe the Texans are back for real. And oh, by the way, the Chargers, you're not out of the woods yet with the Chargers, even in the AFC West. Oh. Now I think we can more laser focus in on the issues that face this team.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a monkey on your back, whether you acknowledge it or not, And I think for the player's standpoint, there's certainly... there's certainly a desire to set history in any way you can, but would you rather go like the Patriots did, undefeated, and lose the Super Bowl? I mean, because there's no guarantee you're going to do what the 72 Dolphins did. And so I feel like the true goal here is to three-peat and set history that way. And the undefeated thing would have been nice, but I'm firmly convinced the team would have sat the starters the last 3 weeks anyway. If they were going undefeated, if they were 14-0, I think they would have sat the starters and given them rest. So who knows whether we truly would have gone undefeated, because it's never been a goal for the Chiefs. It's never been something that they're focused on. They want the three-peat.
Look, I think in normal circumstances, you brought up the Patriots, you could absolutely, that team was flipping dominant. Right? They were crushing people. Brady's numbers were insane. All of those things. And if you didn't have the three-peat on the table, I think it's, you absolutely pay attention and do everything you can for the unbeaten season. That's the next one. If a three-peat's the top one, the full unbeaten season would probably be the next one, right? Of the things that you'd try to achieve as a team. But the Chiefs have never felt, Dan, like a team that was going to go undefeated. they could just as easily be at or below 500 as they were 9-0. They know how to win games. It's the greatest strength of this team. I'm not dismissing that, but this wasn't that kind of team.
No, and they'll have to make a run in the playoffs similar to last year, where they were a different team. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. They clicked they flipped a switch and they became a different team, the team that we kind of expected them to be all year long. They'll have to do that same thing again this year because, look, they're going to play good teams. I mean, you mentioned the Chargers now. Even the Broncos, these guys, there's a lot of work left to be done here with us, having to play Pittsburgh and Houston still. And now the Bills have to play a couple of tough teams too. I think they play the 49ers and the Lions, but I just think it's one of those things where the dominance of the three-peat, which has never been done before, has to give way to the dominant of an undefeated season, which has happened before. I don't know. I feel like, the Chiefs were very in the locker room after the game. They were very subdued. And coach just said, hey, we're going to face these guys again. It's likely we're going to face them again. How you handle it is everything. And I think that's right.
So then let's talk about how we handle it. Offensive line, still a problem. Wanya Morris did not look very good. A healthy scratch. I will say this, a healthy scratch at Kingsley Suamataia tells me, A, they're concerned about it, and of course they are, but B, they're willing to do something about it. I mean, they're trying something. We said last week, or at least I did, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, that you just Suamata is unusable right now. And so I think the Chiefs roster decision told us the same thing. Wanya Moore still wasn't very good. Juwan Taylor hasn't really ever been great. I don't know what they can do, but what are the other options internally? What else did they do? And, you know, what else can they do with what they have on the roster?
You know, not only did they make him a healthy scratch, but they brought up a player from the practice squad over him. You know, they promoted a guy that's got a sting. And I think if that doesn't motivate you as a player, nothing will. Whether or not he's got the physical skills, you know, motivation is only half the problem, right? You got to have the physical skills too. But I have a hard time believing that they got this, the evaluation of him wrong. You know, it would shock me if they were this far off from an accurate evaluation. Now, again, I was shocked by the healthy scratch because, I mean, frankly, because Wanya wasn't really that healthy. You know, I mean, right. he was banged up and there was a chance you were going to put, but for them to say, look, we're going to bring up a guy from the practice squad in the event that we need. Now, maybe that was motivation to Wanya to say, hey, you can't come out of the game. You got to play the whole game. But which I wouldn't put that past him either. But I feel like it would be very odd if they got the evaluation of Kingsley that far off.
Well, I don't know. And the book's not closed on him. Like, he deserves the time to come back. They were off on him and probably, Dan, they were off on Wanya Morris. He hasn't looked good either. And that wasn't a low draft pick, right? Like,
no.
So they just haven't evaluated tackles well. They've had a bunch of failed experiments at tackle. They've been expensive. They just can't quite get it right, but it is what they have. I think it absolutely has contributed to Mahomes' pedestrian season. And again, they're 9-1, but I think we micromanage. I think that's the right thing to do as, you know, as fans, as we watch this. They went to Buffalo and it took a Josh Allen Superman play, you know, to keep Patrick Mahomes from having the opportunity to beat him. So I don't want to overstate anything. I do think it's like, what can they do if it's not the offensive line getting better, which seems unlikely, what can they do? The thing that stares me in the face is Isaiah Pacheco's back. It's run the ball 35 times a game.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't run it more in Buffalo. You know, there were a couple of opportunities where when they brought in the tackle eligible, they were making, you know, they were getting a good push on everybody and getting 5.5, 7.5 yards a clip. And I just thought, keep doing that. Nothing wrong with that. I could live with that all day. I also was impressed. There's always good things that come out of a game as well. And not that there's a moral victory here, but man, I just with every catch that DeAndre Hopkins makes, it reminds me of what a real receiver looks like, you know, and how, you know, his ability to make contested catches is going to pay off. But, you know, you're right. They seem to be very good at blocking the offensive line seems to be very good at blocking the run. So let's run it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I know you have to be balanced or teams will adjust, but the old saying, keep doing it till they stop it, right?
Right. And it's so predictable too, right? It's like a 4-yard carry and then two passes.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder, we talked about that yesterday and it made me wonder, you know, for years and years and years, it's that Andy Reid wouldn't run the ball and he wouldn't run the ball. But that has gone away a little bit recently. But it did make me wonder when we saw, I don't want to call it panic, but when Buffalo was sort of taking it, it made me wonder if, like, do you think there's anything to Coach Reid just sort of going back to, like, what's been there for him his entire career and just trying to force it in that way rather than, because the other part of that is the defense has not been at quite as good the last 2 or 3 weeks. They haven't been able to get the big stop late in a game like they did early in the year. I know they've had injuries. They have, you know, little to no pass rush right now. Is there something to that? Do you think it's like out of maybe a small sense of desperation, they're abandoning the run? I just can't figure out why else they're not. Because Kareem Hunt came up, Dan, his first few weeks, it was like 21, 27, 24, like all these, like that's what they were doing. And then these last couple of weeks, they've totally gone away from that.
I don't know if it's desperation, but I do think there's kind of a return to his roots because, and my guess would be just because that's where he's comfortable. You know, he's comfortable with the passing game and the architecture of the passing game. And I think if you were to ask Coach Reed, he would probably tell you that the run is simply to set up the pass, right? You know, there's no other reason to do that. And now I'm putting words in his mouth. But I do believe, you know, I don't think it's desperation, because I think coaches always think, all coaches always think their plan is a good one. And it's going to work. So, but I do believe that, you know, he just has probably an affinity and just a familiarity with the passing game that it's easier for him to make a magic trick in that style than it is in the run game, which is true. You know, the run game is just about physicality, right?
It is. In the middle of the line, that's what they can do. And with Pacheco and Hunt, I mean, it just makes, like, it's a way you can ease Pacheco back in, which is a good thing to be able to do. And you can just lean into those guys. But on second and six, can't we make it third and two?
Yeah,
instead of trying to get all six?
Yeah.
And then maybe you run it all three times and just make somebody stop that interior line. Because the other thing is, too, we know, you know, you mentioned physicality, like mentality is everything. If Andy Reid's sitting in the game planning meeting and he goes to Tooney and he goes to Smith and he goes to Humphrey and he says, hey guys, we're gonna run the ball 35. This is on you. We're gonna run the ball 35 times. Go eat, you know, go do what you love to do, because we're not going away from it. I, you know, that those guys would react to that, I think.
No, and I think the pressure would be off of Wanya Morris and Juwan Taylor, you know.
Like, stand there.
Yeah, they're like, don't hold. It's Christmas.
Don't hold. Like, whatever you do, your job on this play is don't hold.
Yeah, so I think you're right. You know, I don't know why. I can't explain why it is what it is, but I do also believe that, you know, Coach Reed's creativity is definitely at a high point with the passing game. And I think that he believes in that. You know, he believes that creativity is one of the things. Now, I'd argue, let's see Pacheco and Hunt out there at the same time.
I totally agree.
Show some creativity that way. I think that would be exciting. But, you know, I hate to second guess a guy with so much credibility as Coach Reed. I mean, this is one of the most winning coaches in the history of football. Yeah. But your talent, the stats are there. You know, I mean, I think one of the things you'd say is, well, if Hunt just got here and we weren't sure what we were going to have, but we know we got Pacheco, we know we got Hunt, and both of those guys can run the football. I thought it was interesting. They turned to Samaje Perine a couple of times there late in the game. I thought that was interesting. I don't want to say he's been a disappointment, but I thought he would be a much more physical back than he is.
He's kind of been a non-factor, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not even, and I don't even think it's a, I don't think it's a criticism either. I think it's just like, how do you, because if you could protect Mahomes, you'd throw the ball. Right. Like,
yes.
It's not, I don't think they're making the wrong decision, or it's not Chris. I'm just trying to figure out what they can do about it, because I don't, like, that's the concern now. It's too late to really do much with the roster. So what can you do within a game to correct this? And that's the only thing I can think of. And I'm with you, by the way. Put them both back there and leave one of them back to block every single time and let the other one run around. Like, because it's, you got to have a quick passing game. That part we know, right? Like, they have to be a quick passing game. They're going to be able to take maybe three or four shots deep down the field a game, because can't protect Mahomes anyway. I'm with you. Run two backs back there and let one of them block.
Yeah, I thought Sunday in Buffalo we might actually see Tooney slide over and, you know, them bring in. You just never know what they're going to pull. But I was so floored by the Kingsley. I just. That's a big deal. To a healthy scratch is significant. Promoting a guy over you is, man, that's something else. And that tells me, Jacob, that they're probably getting to a point where they don't know what they can do. They're getting kind of desperate in their ways to motivate him. And you know, I don't know. He's a heck of a guy. You know, when you talk to him, he seems really intelligent. But the long and short of it is, you know, we saw, I think you put it best, he's unusable. And again, while that evaluation is significantly different than a first round draft pick, I think they're trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to motivate this guy?
So the Panthers are this week.
Yeah.
They're not quite the worst run defense in football. They're about, you know, 50 yards ahead of better than the Commanders. But for all intents and purposes, you don't get any worse defending the run than the Panthers. This feels like a get right game for the interior offensive line. Feels like a get right game for the running backs. Feels like a get right game for the defense going up against Bryce Young. It all feels get right for the Chiefs this weekend.
It does indeed. Yeah. I know any given Sunday and all, but the Panthers are definitely not in the class of the Chiefs, in my opinion. And there's just so many, you know, if ever there was a game where just run the football, you know, and I think we'll see, you know, this weekend exactly where coach's head is at with that.
Yeah.
Because it's glaring, right? I mean, if your plan is anything other than that, you know, why? Especially when they're just so ponderously bad at the Panthers are just so ponderously bad at stopping the run. So, you know, we'll see what coach comes up with. I'm always amazed. I used to go into coach's office and the amount of plays that they put into every game, it's crazy, Jacob. I mean, they might add 20 new plays in a game just for that week, you know. And so it is hard on players to constantly be studying and you know, to keep up with that. But this ought to be a week where you could say, you know, maybe we'll just add 5 or 10 plays. You know, we got what we need. Student body left, student body right, right?
Mahomes could throw the ball 15 times or less, and I'd be perfectly happy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't play the Chiefs receivers on your fantasy team this week. Right. We'll put it that way.
That's right.
I just, and the other thing about it is, I think that it can build confidence, even though we all know it's the Panthers and it's an outlier with how bad they've been against the run. It does. It's almost like, God, these are stupid things to say in the NFL, to your point, on any given Sunday, but it's almost like a scrimmage game. It's almost like a tester game, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to try that game plan out, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. If you want to go into a game and say, we would like to run the ball at least 35 times, this is literally the best game to do that you could.
Yeah.
We know what they need to do. So just do it. And trust that your defense will allow you to, despite what's happening on the field. I don't think coaching staffs go into games ever that way, but boy, on paper, it sure feels like it could be that way. And it could help because then next week, now you know, yeah, we can do that. Let's do it again.
Well, I think, you know, you saw Sunday in Buffalo, you know, the first 15 plays that they always script and they weren't working. And the Chiefs made some dramatic adjustments to kind of get the game going. And you can always do that with this, you know, go into it with the mindset that, oh, we're going to test the run. We're just going to test running the football all day long. And if it doesn't work, then you bust out of it and, you know, you make a change. But I feel like, you know, one thing you got to keep in mind here is that the Panthers players have nothing to play for. You know, the motivation for a guy, he's constantly making a business decision, whether, you know, I go out and block a Chief or risk a season in or a year long, you know, rehab. No, I don't think so. I just let him go by. And so now I realize that, you know, that may get your quarterback in a year long rehab as well. But I just think that's the way that the league works. When you've got nothing to play for, it changes your mindset. It's kind of like after we got the first ring, you have a ring now. You know, right. Now the Chiefs have been really good about going back again, but it's different. It just is different. You know, once you've the ways these guys motivate themselves and each other are, important. And I don't know what you find other than the fact that you're a professional. I don't know what you find as motivation if you're a Carolina Panther, really. Maybe if you're at the end of your contract, maybe that's something. But I would hope to think that the Chiefs, this is finally one the Chiefs don't make a close game.
Well, and look, the Chiefs are better at finding motivation than anything. It's part of their greatness, I think.
Yeah.
What do you make of the defense, Dan, before we let you go? It's not...
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Not as good. I think, you know, the Watson injury has hurt them a great deal. They're not getting the pass rush that they need. How concerning is that side of the ball right now? Because it's going under the radar because of the obvious issues on the O-line.
You saw the difference between Trent McDuffie and Nazi Johnson. They had a couple of plays where they were the same play, and the only difference was that the Chiefs had not had Trent McDuffie on the receiver rather than Nazi Johnson. And there was a big difference there. You know, I feel like you're right. The Watson, that's a big loss. And so now as these guys get healthier and return and all of that, I mean, from a defense standpoint, I think getting Mike Dana back has been good. But, you know, and I will say historically, just the way Josh Allen plays, it's hard. The Chiefs have never been good at sacking him, you know?
Right.
That should change this week. They should be able to eat a little more. And the defensive line, I think the key to one of the defense is the defensive line. If the defensive line doesn't play well, I feel like the secondary is under so much pressure. I think our linebackers play well almost all the time. You know, whether they're in coverage or they're stopping the run, I feel like they're not the issue. But definitely, I think the secondary is suspect right now.
Is Minnehue? I know we expect Pacheco back. Is Minnehue still on the table for this weekend?
Yes. And that would be big as well. You know, I mean, anytime you can get more pass rushing, and I haven't really felt like Uche has been an effective player for us yet. Maybe he will, but getting a Minnehue back, I think, would be a plus.
That and completing a couple of those deep balls to Xavier Worthy would certainly be handy as well.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, Worthy's got to figure out a way to know where he's at on the field. You can see the potential there so much. You know, you see that it's literally, you know, 3 inches from being successful. But that's the kind of rookie stuff they got to work out of him with his technique.
And it wasn't a perfect throw by Mahomes, but the problem is Mahomes isn't going to be able to make perfect throws this year, especially on deep balls, because he's not going to have a clean pocket.
Yeah.
That would be another thing that would really help the team.
And you saw what DeAndre Hopkins did with those sideline catches, you know, where he one handed the catch and,
right. Yeah.
And, you know, now I think that one ended up not being a catch, but I mean, you can just tell there's a lot more comfort out there with a guy that's been catching for 11, 12 years, whatever he's been.
Probably Hall of Famer,
but yes.
Okay. Well, Dan, it's another noon kick. We get another one.
I know. What is that about?
And then the schedule turns to absolute madness, and they're streaming games and on weird days, and then we go into that stretch. So enjoy it, even though it's a road game. Which look, road noon kickoffs, I guess, are a little concerning at some point, but we know you guys will have us covered. And again, we'll watch 35 runs, and we'll all move on with our lives.
I like it. It's a good plan.
There goes Dan Israel. Thank you, Dan.
You bet.
We'll talk again next week with Dan. Lot to digest there. We'll bring Tommy back in. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into some of that, what Dan had to say And we'll look ahead to this this Wildcat basketball game tonight, which is far more interesting for weird reasons than I expected before we started to dig in here. A wild line in that game tonight. So that's how we'll finish up the show today. Your calls, the IHOP hotline is back open. Join us here on Sports Daily if you'd like. You can also, of course, leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily right after this. Again, everybody, it is Sports Daily. If you missed anything with Dan Israel, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. The show's always podcasted there. A great way to tune in if you're not in your car from 9 to 11. Shout out to those listening to us on the podcast right now. I know a lot of people do. We're glad to be able to bring that to you. And thank you for tuning in, however it is that you tune in, whether you watch, you listen live, you listen later, whatever it is, we appreciate it. Tommy, any of the conversation there with Dan Israel, pretty succinct, right? The offensive line's a problem. They need to run the ball. They get a great opportunity this weekend against one of, if not the worst, run defenses in football. They get Isaiah Pacheco back. Don't start the Chiefs receivers on your fantasy teams this week, I would say, because they need to run the ball a ton in this game and get right both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's really getting back to the basics. You've got that opportunity with taking on a Panthers team that is not very good. And I know that they're going through a rebuild and all of that, and they have played a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, but still you've got that opportunity if you're the Chiefs to get right, to reset a little bit, and get back on track, and I think that's what they'll do.
All right, let's talk college basketball then, Tommy. I looked at this and was laughing. I didn't realize how bad Mississippi Valley State is. They play K-State. KU also plays tonight against UNC Wilmington, who's not a joke. Like, they're much better, even though KU's a big favorite. We'll get to them in a minute. So Mississippi Valley State, Tommy. We said Monmouth was one of the worst teams in the country. Mississippi Valley State is the worst team in the country. KenPom has them literally ranked last. The line is 40 points. K-State is a 40-point favorite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there is no chance I'm taking K-State on a 40-point line. But listen to this. Iowa State beat them by 39. Mizzou beat them by like 82, I think, if my math is correct. No. 72. Sorry. Texas beat them by 46. So that's where that comes in. But Mississippi Valley State has a win, Tom.
They do.
They've got a win on the season.
They do. They looks like they beat Mississippi. Wait, who they beat? The Mississippi University for women. That's got to be a typo. Listen.
No, that's correct.
That's right.
And you know, it's very asterisk for everybody listening. Nobody get their feelings hurt, please, at the conversation we're going to have and make jokes at in light of. Please. Nobody's got time for overreactions politically. But this feeds this talking point right now in the election. A, Mississippi University for Women. I'm looking for a box score on this game. I can't find one.
I'm assuming
they field a men's basketball team.
They do. They have a men's basketball team at the Mississippi University for Women. I'm looking at their roster right now.
So Mississippi Valley State won that game, and I don't know anything about that program.
They were led by Trent Walker in that game. That he scored 12 points in 24 minutes. He's a 6'4" guard for Mississippi University for Women.
Most of the schools that used to be school, you know, went back when they did that sort of thing, have like changed the name of the school, right? Like,
Jad's got a point.
Well, they have changed the name of the school, and I gotta say, Mississippi University for Women is a lot better. That was a good name change because it was previously the Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Oh. Okay, so the Mississippi University
for
Women,
terrible.
That's their new name.
Right?
That's not anything that they needed. That's what they moved to.
Yeah.
Okay.
My goodness gracious. Why the... Huh.
They're the Owls. The Owls of Mississippi University for Women. Their men's basketball team.
I'm having a hard time with this. I'm going to... anywho, that is their... One more time on that old name, Jad. What was the old name?
The Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Okay.
By the way, they've admitted men to the university since 1982. And apparently, as of 2022, this is according to Wikipedia, men make up 23% of the student body.
Okay. Well, listen, I applaud them for keeping the name Mississippi University for Women, only for the sense that it's comedy. I always appreciate good comedy. And at the time where these things are in, it just cracks me up.
How about this? Okay. So this is really fascinating. I feel like
it is.
So they've admitted men since 1982, but men's sports were not introduced until the 2017-2018 school year. That was the first time that there have been men's sport programs, baseball, cross country, soccer, basketball, golf, and tennis. They are an NCAA Division III school.
So Mississippi Valley State got them by 15.
Correct.
Otherwise, they've been terrible. Back to the original point, 40-point line. We can't not do something with that. Like, we can't just ignore that line, can we? Like, so then you get into, can K-State cover a 40-point spread? Like, we have to take some piece of that. Like, we have to. You can't just let that sit there.
Is Kansas State better than Missouri in basketball? I think the answer is a resounding yes.
I think they will be.
I think the answer is, I mean, Missouri is, they're not good at all. And Missouri beat Mississippi Valley State by 70 points, 72 points. So, yeah, I mean, I think a 40-point spread is probably in play.
I got to say, we got to take the line. We got to take 40. We got to.
I would.
It's going to be floating around like 38 to 42 points, and it'll be a nail biter at the end. So, if for no other reason to like really lock into that game, just take the 40 points. It'll be fascinating. Fascinating tonight. All right. KU, Tommy, plays UNC Wilmington. Much, much, much better team so far this year. They're actually 160 in the KenPom. They are no slouch here. They're 3-0. 23-point line. That is a line I would not touch, by the way. What do we want to see? It feels like a really long time since we've seen KU play. They did play this weekend, but it sort of got lost in the translation of a football weekend as it was against Oakland. It feels like a long time since they played a meaningful game. I think this could be. What do you want to see tonight in the UNC Wilmington game with Duke looming, but not for another week?
Yeah, I'd like to see Flory Badunga, have some really positive minutes. That's something that I'm really looking for, because in the last couple of matchups, and that's excluding the Oakland game, but when they played the high-level opponents in Michigan State, and then before that, I think you need to see him be a lot more effective, out on the court. The North Carolina game also, have him be on the court and not commit fouls. That's going to be a major point for me, because you need to have somebody behind Hunter Dickinson that can be effective coming in relief of Dickinson. So again, the competition level continues to increase for Kansas heading into the holidays. And so knowing that, I'd like to see Badunga get some really quality minutes tonight.
I would. That's a good one. I like that. We know about Hunter Dickinson. There's not really much we need to see. And you could put him on ice even a little bit. Yeah. Maybe that would be
so
nice.
So here's one thing about Badunga that speaks to that point. He's playing about 13 minutes a game, and he's averaging over 2 fouls per game in that 13 minutes. That's far too much. So, he's fouling too much. He's not able to stay on the court. So I would like to see that improve for him.
But I don't think this is a game where they're going to just be able to put it on cruise control like in the first half. I think I would be pleasantly, but I would be a little surprised by that. Zeke Mayo continues to be the other big offensive piece. I'd really like to see AJ Storr and Ryland Griffin take over offensively in a game. One, if not both of those guys, would be very nice to see them elevate and just sort of set the tone, because I want to see that they can do that if they need it, right? If KU at any point needs one of those guys to have that kind of game, which they come in with that kind of pedigree, I'd like to see him be able to do that tonight. Might be an opportunity for that as well, sort of along your same lines of easing up on Dickinson a bit.
Well, and also, this was notable from the game against Oakland. I didn't realize this. Shaquille Moore played for the first time this season. He only played 5 minutes. I know they're trying to work him back from his foot surgery, and it sounds like they put a 5-minute limit on him, but trying to work him back in. And that's important, because I think the Jayhawks have really been searching for who is going to be their main lockdown defender on this team. And Shaquille Moore, I think, has shown in his career that he is a really good, if not great, defender. And so the more that he's able to be out on the court and help them in that regard, that's going to be, I think, essential for Kansas. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe get a few more minutes tonight as they continue to work him back to 100%.
So UNC Wilmington's averaging, Tommy, 108 points a game so far this year. Let that sink in for a second. Isn't that crazy? They're averaging. Now, that was you know, inflated by a 143-91 win over another team I've never heard of. So the Mount Olive, just the Mount Olive Trojans. They put up 143, so inflated. But in their other two games, it was 92 and 89 points. It would be nice to see a team like that you know can score. It's capable. It's in their DNA. For KU to absolutely shut them down. The over-under's at 158. Wouldn't touch it. But that would also be maybe this will be a good test for the KU defense. Maybe not. Maybe they're not really that good. But, you know, 160 in KenPom's not terrible.
Which game are you more excited to watch? The KU game against a high-level opponent? Higher level? This K-State game where they're playing the worst team in Division I basketball.
Because now the 40-point spread is in play. So the answer is K-State for me, because I can't get enough of that 40-point spread. Like, I'm so intrigued by a 40-point spread, I can't stand
it. Depending on how this game turns out for Kansas State tonight, might tell us a little bit more about the Mississippi University for Women.
That's true. I got to know what their chances in Division III are this year. I did not intend to spend very much time on that today, but I had no idea was in the cards.
I hesitated as I was reading it because I'm like, wait, that's a typo. I'm looking at the wrong page. Mississippi Valley State played the Mississippi University for Women men's team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Can we get just one more time before we go to break? Jad, can you tell us the former name of that university one more time?
Sure, I can. Actually, I have to pull it right back up again, but I had it. There it is. Nope, I don't have it anymore. Okay. I don't have it pulled up.
Find
sorry.
It. We'll bring it back up after the break.
Yeah, we'll get you there. This is incredible.
He's got it.
Okay, yeah. Here it is.
It's the Industrial Institute Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Let's let that sink in, everybody. Did not know that school existed. But it did. There in the great state of Mississippi. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Last full segment right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. We didn't have a chance to talk about this story yesterday, Tommy, but I do think it's of note. The Tyson fight. How big of a problem is this for Netflix, do you think, to not be able to handle that? It was a disaster. They got NFL games coming up. That cannot happen. If you're Roger Goodell today, yesterday, Sunday, like, you got to be on the horn like, yo, this cannot happen when we bring the NFL to Netflix. How does it even happen with the streaming company, like the OGs? How do they even let this happen in the first place?
Well, they've never done anything like this, and they've not been set up for it before. I think that there's a really good reason as to why they led off their live sports coverage with this particular fight because, yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, people wanted to know if Mike Tyson still had it. They wanted to see Jake Paul, all of that. But it was a good little, like, you know, test, like beta test.
And a good test, though. Shouldn't you beta test like a Tuesday night Maction game?
That nobody's going to watch? Because, like, the biggest issue was the servers crashing and the number of people that were going to watch it. Like, if you're doing a Tuesday night Mac game, nobody's tuning in for that. So they won't know until they go and do, like, a large-scale event about whether or not their servers can actually handle it.
Like a Stranger Things premiere would have to have a lot of traffic.
Not in a live sports coverage type thing.
Do we have a number on how many people were trying to? Like, it's such a fail, and it was disastrous if that happens with the NFL.
It'll be okay.
The NFL. Well, I would imagine they can get it corrected, but
did this before they started to air NFL games.
Tommy, this didn't happen to Amazon Prime. Didn't happen to Peacock.
Well, Peacock is different because you've got this full support of NBC behind you.
Netflix is the biggest streamer in the world. They have been. They're Netflix the originators.
Netflix had never done live sporting event coverage before.
But had Peacock?
But Peacock is owned by NBC. Absolutely, NBC had done live sports coverage before.
But not in a streaming environment, they hadn't.
Yeah, but they were prepared for that sort of thing.
What about Prime Video?
I mean, I don't know. Do you remember the very first Thursday night football game on Prime? It wasn't great. It's gotten a lot better since then. It wasn't great.
Buffer. Like, you could at least watch it.
Sure, it did. There were buffering issues. I remember it buffering as I was trying to watch.
Maybe so. I don't remember that at all, if it was the case.
I think they'll be fine. I think that they did this as a appetizer for the large-scale football games they're going to be airing, and you better believe that they'll have it remedied and fixed and ready to go. I've got no concern over the future sports streaming coverage that Netflix can provide.
I sure hope you're right, because it's going to suck. Not just like it won't be as funny, I don't think, as it was with this one, because that's one like we're actually – I mean, that's Chiefs Steelers. Are you kidding me? Like Tyson Paul kind of seemed fake anyway, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, is they really doing it? Like, that's
and again,
fun.
That's why they did this. That's why they started with this, because it's like that's a throwaway, not a big deal.
But, you know, like there was all the funny things, which was the highlight of that fight, by the way. What an epic move by Tyson.
I didn't even watch any of it, to be completely honest with you.
You saw the butt
thing.
No,
I did. I mean, I followed it on social. I saw what was going viral, but I don't care.
That's good.
Didn't care. That's good. Still don't care. Never like one time did I think, you know what? I think I'm going to turn this on because I really want to watch this. I didn't care.
I didn't remember that it was happening until it was happening. But Mike Tyson in his prime was as must-see TV as we've ever had in sports.
Sure.
Like, and so that nostalgia was there.
But a 58-year-old Mike Tyson, I didn't really have much of an interest in watching.
Here's what I would have been interested in. Here's how I would have made that better. They put him in pillow gloves. Let that be a bare knuckles fight. Then I'm like, let's have that fight. And I bet you Mike Tyson had a pretty good chance to knock out the young man. You know, he was getting him early in that fight. Like, he was landing punches, but again, he's wearing pillow gloves. He's not going to do anything with pillow gloves on. Whatever. Better not screw up football for
us. Not going to screw up football. It's going to be fine. Everybody take a breath.
Let's mark this on the tape, Chad. If they screwed up, I want to hear what Tommy has to say on Monday morning, December, whatever that is. You won't be here anyway. I'll be here either. Isn't that on Christmas Day? It's Christmas Day game.
Yeah.
We'll call it in and get after it. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.